AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
We got the football!
It's a Bosa Bowl.
We gotta plant a seed for the future.
Hey, we the best! Let's go show it!
What a grab by Mike!
We gotta plant a seed for the future.
Lunges into the end zone!
This is where you rise, this is where you shine, this is where you become the greatest of all.
This is LA Football Monday.
Anytime Eric Dickerson gets a step, he's gone.
Talking all things football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com. And now, on AM 570 and live on the iHeartRadio app, here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, and Eric Dickerson.
Okay, we continue on with our weekly time with our dear friend, Eric Dickerson. Eric, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm fantastic. Fantastic. Dodgers in the World Series and stuff, and I'm all excited.
You know, I do.
Even though my Rams lost.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. I do want to point out, though, to our listeners, that you were the one, Eric, that said the Dodgers were going to win the World Series. You said that.
I did say that, and I stand by that. I said they would be in the World Series. I said it'd be like 1988 when the Lakers made to the one that's the World Championship, and the Dodgers followed up by winning the pennant. So I'm sticking to that, you know. And the sad thing is, if we don't have any fans because of this coronavirus. So, but I'm happy for all Dodger fans, especially Tom Lasorda. I mean, really, I'm just so glad that we're back again. They're back. I don't want to say it, like we. I'm not one of those kind of guys. They're back again, and looking forward to possibly winning a pennant. And like I said, it's been since 1988. But you know, this is like 1988 today. So let's go with that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And you know, it's so many guys like you can think about that you want this to happen for, especially. Guy like Clayton Kershaw, who's been the stable of the team for so many years and put this team on his back for so many years and, you know, hasn't gotten one yet. Just for him to get one, that'd be great. And also for all the heat that Dave Roberts has taken, he needs to get one and just to kind of shut up all the haters.
Really? For real? I mean, think about it. You know, the last time the Dodgers won a pennant in a shortened season, a strike season, was 1981. And they beat the New York Yankees. So and who was the manager?
Tom Lasorda.
Was it Tom Lasorda? Tom, yeah. Lasorda, right. Tom Lasorda was the manager. So I mean, I think it would just be fitting for this to happen. You know, I hate to say, you know, and you hate to be in a strike in a shortened season because of a pandemic, but it is what it is. And the Dodgers are back going to the World Series. And I was going back and forth between the Rams game and the Dodger game. Rams game and Dodger game, man. It was frustrating. I went back and I'm like, okay, I think Bellinger, it was 3-2 count. And I had a buddy of mine, he said, man, he gonna hit a home run. I went back and I came back and I saw him running around the field. I say, damn, he hit a home run and I missed it.
Why in the world did you keep going back to the Ram? Why would you go back to the Ram game? There was really nothing to see there.
But hey, because I had to talk about this today, so I had to talk about what I didn't see. You know, yeah, you're right. I mean, hey, but you know, I'm glad to Dodge. I'm so happy for the Dodgers and Dodger fans, man, because the Dodgers have some of the best fans in the world. I mean, they're loyal. I mean, loyal fans. I mean, LA fans are. If they love you, they love you. I mean, there's no in-between. It's not like I'm going to jump to this team. But, you know, I'm just happy for the Dodgers and the Dodger organization.
What was it like when you were playing for the Rams where it came from a fan's perspective? They loved you because you were you. But What sense did you get about LA fans then?
You know, the real true LA fans were fans. I mean, you got to understand, we were down in Orange County, and those were the kind of fans that were kind of fair weather fans. But the true Ram fans, really, friend, most of them were up in LA. They were here in Los Angeles, and they said, man, I don't like driving down to Orange County. I don't want to come down, but I'm a Ram fan. I'm frustrated they're down there, but I love you and I love the team, but it's just frustrating. It's frustration. But, you know, you can see the loyalty of a true fan. I mean, and that's what you want. You want a fan, look, win, lose, or draw, you want your fans there. You know, and that's the thing about LA fans, you know. And most fans, you know, you got the fair weather fans. I mean, that's in any sport. But I have to say, for a lot of LA fans, and I say this for all of them, you know, any sports you love, they are loyal to their team. If it's the Ram fans, they're loyal Ram fans. If it's the Raider fans, they're loyal Raider fans. If it's the Dodger fans, they're loyal Dodger fans. You're not going to see them saying, well, we're going to pull for San Francisco because they're in the World Series. Oh, hell no. That will never happen. And same thing with the Ram fans. We'll never pull for San Francisco. That'll never happen. That's like a Raider fan pulling for the Chargers or the Kansas City Chiefs. That ain't going to happen. So that's what I like about the loyalty of a LA fan.
You know, I think there's a misconception around the country about the kind of people that are fans in this city. Because around the country, what do you always hear? They arrive late, they leave early. You know, it's all about stars with money that get the best seats. And what they
not real fans.
Not real fans, right. What they don't realize is the fabric of Southern California is made up of so many communities. And all of these people grind and work hard every day. And they are exceptionally passionate about the teams they support and they root for. And around the country, you don't get that. You don't hear that. If you live here, you know that somebody that lives in Arleta or Tustin or Palmdale or Encino or Laguna or wherever, Pacoima, Beverly Hills, when it comes to teams in this market, I think the fans are really passionate and very genuine. And I just don't think around the country, Rodney, people get that.
No, I don't think they do, because, you know, you look up and you say, well, like you said, Fred, there's always, all you see on TV from afar, if you're in the Midwest or you're in the East Coast, you see the stars at Laker games, or you see them pan the crowd at Dodger games, and you see stars, and where they can't be real LA fans because they were born in Missouri or they were from the East Coast or they're really Philadelphia fans, but they're just living in LA, so they just happen to be at the game. There's no real fans there. Well, that really makes up about less than 5% of the capacity of a stadium. Most of the fans that are at Laker games, that are at Dodger games, they are LA fans, and they really are passionate. Now, you know, LA is passionate and more, you know, loves its city just as much as any other city in the country, just as much as New York loves New York. New Yorkers love New York, and Bostonians love Boston. LA fans and LA people love LA. And yes, there are a lot of transplants here, but still, the people that are here, that have been here for a number of years, that grew up here, are true diehard fans of their sports team.
I agree. I mean, I'm not a true LA. I'm an LAan, LA Knight, as we call it. I'm from Texas. I mean, and I love our LA sports. I mean, you'll find it's so many fans in Texas that are Laker fans. I mean, all my family was a Laker fan. It's funny, you know. They say, "Hey, we like the Rockets," but I'm a Laker fan, you know. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, look, when they pan a game at, let's just say a baseball game or a basketball game in Arizona, Philadelphia, or Boston, you're not looking to see stars on the floor. When you're playing a sports game in L.A., the Laker fan, you're looking to see the stars. You want to see them. I mean, for sure. It's only a few there if it's four or five stars there, but the real fan base is from outside of L.A. or that L.A. County area. I mean, I think about me driving last year, driving over to a Dodger game. You know, it took me 2.5 hours to get to a Dodger game. I mean, and a lot of people drive that distance to go to a Dodger game if you don't live close to the stadium because of the traffic. I mean, if you want to go see a game, you're going to suffer to go see a game. And that goes to show, you know, that you're a fan. You love your sport. Hey, if I have to catch the bus to watch the Dodgers play, if I'm coming all the way from Ontario, but I'm catching the bus to come watch my Dodgers play or my Lakers play, you're a true fan.
All right, well, what did the true fans say about the Rams' performance last night?
Oh, my gosh, man. God. Do we have to go there so soon, Fred?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it, because David Vasse is coming up next, so let's do it right now.
Okay, let's get it over with. You know, to me, that was a wake-up call. That should be a wake-up call. I'll say this much here. You know, I love our coach, Sean McVay, but he got out coached last night. He really did. I mean, he just got out coached. You know, one thing is that if we want to be that team, you have to be a team that you should beat. You have to. You know, the 49ers are a team that was beat up. It just got mauled by the Miami Dolphins. And to me, they mauled us. I mean, the score wasn't even as close as it seemed on 24 to 16 or whatever, 20 something to 16. It wasn't even that close because they had the ball 38 minutes compared to our 22 minutes. They ran the ball, looked like to me at will when they wanted to run the ball. I know they only had 122 yards rushing, but they seemed to rack up the yards. You know, we could not stop Kittle. I mean, you couldn't stop the tight end. We could not get a pass rush. I mean, oh, you know, they triple team, double team Aaron Donald. And look, Aaron Donald is doing, like you say, I got my man. He's got his man. It's on the other side of that defense for somebody to get in there and make sacks. And look, I'm sitting at home now. I don't have to take those hits. I don't have to rush. I don't have to run, do that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you what I see. But as a football team, man, we have to do better. I mean, and trying to get the ball to 5, 10 different receivers, I mean, that's great. But look, you need to get the ball to Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, and Robert Woods. Those are our guys. Make that the offense. And if you can spread it around some other ways, fine. And run the ball, you know, I really believe that Darrell Henderson has earned the starting job. Like, let's don't go that running back by committee crap. I'm not never big on that. He's earned that job. He's earned it. And if he wants to come out for a break, take him out. But last night, man, we made Garoppolo look like Joe Montana. I mean, he's 4-0 against us. We haven't beaten him yet. And he's not a franchise quarterback. He's not. But he plays like a franchise quarterback when it comes to playing against us. And, you know, it was just really disheartening to watch it. You know, I was really frustrated. You know, and it shows. You know, I keep saying this. We're weak at linebacker. You know, we're weak in that area. And it showed last night. We couldn't cover the tight end Kittle. That's our backer's job. We could get no rush on the quarterback. He had all day to throw. And so, that's my take on that game. And what does that come up with? That comes up to a loss. And that's what we did. We lost.
Is it a little bit of fool's gold right now with the Rams, ED? Because, you know, they ran through the NFC East. Cowboys, they beat in the first game. It was a good game. But when we see now the Cowboys are struggling. They're not, you know, one of the upper echelon teams. They beat Washington. They beat the Giants, beat Philadelphia, who are all not very good football teams. They lose to Buffalo, even though they came back. And then they lose to the 49ers, which they have to play again, and then they got to play Seattle twice as well. How good is this Rams team, or did we get a false sense of how good they are because of the teams that they played?
Well, I think you played the NFC least, which is sometimes the NFC East. You know, and you did beat them. and you beat them. But, you know, I don't want to say it's fool's gold. I just want to take a few more weeks. I'm going to tell you, this game coming up against Chicago, man, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, this is a tough game. We didn't play well. Was it last year we played? Was it last year we played against them when they beat us? I mean, pretty good. Or 2 years ago they beat us down in Chicago. This is a whole lot better defense. Let's put it like that. A whole lot better defense.
Yeah, but the good news is Nick Foles has been struggling since he started.
Yeah, but you know the thing about Nick Foles. Nick Foles has winning. He's winning. He's winning. But you know what? Nick Foles has not had a chance to really learn that offense. You know, he has been really in a backup position. The starting quarterback was Trubisky all those weeks, and they thought he was going to be the guy, and I knew he wasn't the guy. But Nick Foles, he knows us. He's played for us. And I think, you know, if we don't put pressure on Nick Foles, if we don't put some pressure on him and get to him, like we put no pressure on Garoppolo last night, they'll do what they want to do with us. They will. I mean, and you know one thing was frustrating? And like I say, I'm not trying to make no tackle. Man, we tackled terrible against the 49ers. Every week we play them. Every time we play them, we cannot tackle their backs. They'll hit them in the backfield and they'll still make 5 yards. I'm like, come on, dog. We got to make those tackles. You can't let them turn a third and six into a first down when you're running the football. A third and three, and they pick up 15 yards. You know, that's frustrating. I mean, as a fan, as a former player, you watch it, and like I always say this every time, you know. Those players out there, they're trying. It's not like they said, hey, man, I tried to miss that tackle, man. You know, I didn't want to make that tackle, no way. But it is what it is. We didn't play good. We kept the game relatively close, but to me, it wasn't as close as it even looked.
You have not mentioned your concern about the linebackers with us so far this season. When did this happen?
I mean, I said it last – I mean, I've said it a lot, you know, since we lost a lot of players, a lot of them are backers. I mean, we lost backers. I mean, good line, good inside, outside back. We don't have a – look at it. We got no rush. We have no rush.
You have Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald's
double and triple team, Fred.
When you can double and triple team one guy and you can't get a rush, that means somebody else, some other players are not doing their job. Like they can't be the one on one, and that's the frustrating part. When you got guys that are pro players, they can't. You've got a guy that's taking up sometimes 2 to 3 players, and they're keeping a back end sometimes. That goes to show somebody else should be getting free. You know, it's on somebody else to get free. Look, Jalen Ramsey, he's a defensive back. That's not he's doing it. Like I say, he got his man. He's covering his man. It's up to those guys up front and the backers to get to that quarterback to make some plays and make some tackles. I mean, the tackling was atrocious last night. That's it.
No.
That's it. Anything?
No,
anything
I didn't. Else? You know, I didn't want to stop you when you were on a roll.
Hey, well, I was on a roll. Really, I mean, you know, it's frustrating when you watch a team because, you know, first of all, man, I hate the 49ers, just like the Dodgers hate San Francisco. I can't stay. You think y'all want to lose to the Niners? Man, it's frustrating losing to them. I don't want to lose to them guys. I don't care if everybody was hurt. You know, that's sorry. I don't feel nobody be hurt, but hey, if we beat them with everybody hurt, so we beat them. Hey, get some more players out there. But man, I hate losing to the Niners.
Well, I guess the good news is, really, in Los Angeles, not many people saw them lose because everybody was watching the Dodgers. I know that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, I saw them lose.
So you know what? Really, the game never even happened, Eric. See, make you feel bad?
Yeah. Okay, it happened in the record books.
We take that record. We take that loss off the record.
Yeah.
No, there was a mistake. That loss doesn't even count. They'll regroup and they'll go get them this week against Chicago. All right, back to the Dodgers. David Vassay. Well, David Vassay, he still has another week to work, and I'm sure he's happy about that. Another week in Arlington, and he wants to get home soon with a Dodger World Series. He'll join us next.
3, 2, 1. Grab your phone, because now is your chance to win $1,000. Text the keyword BANK to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's BANK to 200-200. Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
All right, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson on AM 570 LA Sports. And our visits with Eric are brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Learn about great deals at buyfordnow.com or visit your nearest dealer today. You know, it's really interesting, Eric, and we've talked about this. Around the country, the NFL is always king. Always king. But the Rams have run into an interesting, and the Chargers, interesting dilemma here, where you've had the Lakers win the NBA title, and now you have the Dodgers playing for the World Series. Isn't it odd that football, in a market the size of Los Angeles, kind of gets pushed to the back burner for a while?
Well, I don't say it's odd, because you got to understand the Lakers and the Dodgers have been here forever. I mean, I think if you took a census, and let's just say that the Dodgers were playing in the World Series here in L.A. and the Rams were playing the Super Bowl here in L.A., I hate to say it, I think it'd be more Dodger fans out there. You know, well, the stadium doesn't hold as many, but, this is a Laker and a Dodger town. You know, you might not want to say it, like you might not want to admit it. You know, this is a Raider town still, you know, because the Rams haven't been here for so long. I mean, that's what it comes down to, you know, it's being here. And so, it's tough. It makes it really tough, you know, on football. Now, if you've been here and you've won a couple Super Bowls, then it's different.
Yeah, and
that's just the fact.
I mean, it might not be pretty,
but it's the facts.
Yeah, in 2020 and this pandemic, the Lakers would have already been done and won their championship, and there would have been a parade in the summer, and we'd have, you know, you would have had anticipation for football and for playoff baseball, so they wouldn't have been, you know, had to run up against both the Lakers and the Dodgers. One you can handle, both of them at the same time really puts football on the back burner. I think not only in this market, but I think nationally it's put football on the back burner because everybody, you know, was kind of focused on the playoffs. That's where everybody wants to focus their attention on the NBA Finals and then now the World Series.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's just a regular, it's regular season football. It's not even playoff time. It's just regular season. You know, that's kind of, I hate to say it, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, well, I like looking at numbers, and at a time where you really can't have fans anywhere. I mean, you can have 11,000 now for baseball, but everything really is now based on, you know, who's watching what. And I found it really interesting last night. The Dodger game dominated. It was shown on two different platforms, Fox 11 and Fox Sports 1. So I combined those numbers. And they more than doubled what the Rams did in Los Angeles last night on NBC, which led into our show, The Challenge. And I'll be interested to see how that does nationally, because oftentimes nationally football will rule. But what I really found interesting, Rodney, about last night is that the Dodgers entered Game 7, and then we've just recently had the Lakers playing for the NBA title. And this, I cannot remember a time this has happened. The Dodgers had a better number than the Laker game did. And I found that really interesting. Both franchises are 1-1A in the marketplace.
I mean, the game that the Lakers won?
Yeah.
The championship game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that the it was, people felt more as a foregone conclusion Lakers are going to win the title than game seven with the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers coming back, everybody kind of on the edge of their seats to see if the Dodgers can come all the way back and win it in this time. So I think the excitement around of the unknown of what was going to happen at game seven, had the Lakers series went to game seven, I think the number would have been bigger than it was.
All right. Well, now a man who's very excited. Our dear friend David Vassay jumps on the show. Dave, good afternoon to you.
I'm excited to talk to Rodney and Eric Dickerson, not a guy that was putting me on the witness stand on Friday like the season was over. So, you know, I'm happy to talk to them if they want to ask me any questions.
What do you mean putting you on the witness stand? What is that supposed to mean?
Fred, you were holding me accountable for what you perceived to be another failed season by the Dodgers. So I kind of try to talk you off the ledge and let you know the Dodgers were going to come back. You did not want to hear that. You thought, you perceived me to just be giving you lip service. Obviously, the fans believe me. I know Eric and Rodney did. But you can quote all the ratings you want. The Dodgers came back and won. That leaves you with a lot of egg on your face.
I never said the Dodgers would not come back. I said it was
going to be very tough. Why don't we play the tape? Oh. Kevin, can you bring back the tone of Fred's voice when he interviewed me last week?
When you have them in blood red, Fred, that means you are very, very pessimistic about them winning. You had them in red. I mean, like down cut to the core red, that coming out of your heart vein red. And now you're going to say that you didn't think they couldn't come back.
Wait a minute. I asked those questions, Dave, from the perspective of if, not it was definite they wouldn't come back.
Oh, and you know that. Are you kidding me, Fred? You are ridiculous.
Oh, Fred gonna come with Fred now.
Hey, ED, he could get away with that with Petros and the pig on the challenge, not with me.
All right. Call him out. Dave, well, let's start with this. We as a
You're
collective.
Sorry? You apologize? You're right.
I'm not apologizing to you. No. No, I'm not. But let's start with this. As a collective, we thought Dave Roberts did a terrific job last night. Last week,
thought he did a terrific job.
We never, no.
You didn't think he was very good.
No, I didn't say that. No, we had callers that did, and we pointed out, you know, when you thought he did a bad job, now what do you say? That pitching lineup he went with, that was predetermined, right? And he just stuck with it.
Yeah, number one, I know we did not speak yesterday. I did believe it was a huge roll of the dice to have Dustin May start that game because he doesn't miss bats. His pitches are down in the strike zone, and it almost blew up in the Dodgers' face the way they scripted it out with Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin. But once they got past that, Mookie Betts saved the day because Blake Treinen essentially gave up a home run to Freddie Freeman and Mookie saved it. It's a 4-2 game at that point, and it might have been a little bit tougher for the Dodgers to come back. Cody's home run would only have been a game-tying home run at that point. So it worked out the last three innings. I mean, Eric, Rodney, myself, we could have managed the team the way Julio was throwing the baseball from the outset of being on the mound. That was basically cruise control because Julio Urias controlled it.
Yeah, it was never a question to remove him in the ninth or anything like that, right?
No, not at all. Kenley had his hoodie and jacket off. He had his hands on his hips, but that was Julio's game. I mean, it was so obvious. I mean, if Dave Roberts would have taken him out, then you really would have had some callers today. But everybody knew Julio was cruising through that lineup. They had no chance against him.
And Dave, to start May, the word was that, and you can confirm this, that they let him know about 1 o'clock that he was going to start that game. Is that because he's a young guy and they didn't want him to overthink it, or they did just not know until 1 o'clock that's how they were going to go?
I think they were overthinking it. I think they were overthinking it and decided to go that route. So, yeah, that was an interesting decision. But they have made their minds up that they wanted to use Dustin May in multiple games during the playoffs. And they felt like if they could steal a first inning and get that top of the order out and take away one of their four or five at-bats, that it was worth the gamble. But it very nearly came back to hurt them.
All right, Dave, was the turning point in the game – go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
I want to ask him, how impressive was Julio Urias in that game? I mean, I just reading the stat about Pedro Martinez, but how impressive was he?
Ed, that's the best I've seen him throw, and he has been outstanding during the entire playoffs. He has not given up an earned run. He's just been so dominant since these playoffs started, whether it's as a starter, coming in the middle of the game for three innings, coming in for the final three innings of the game yesterday. His mound presence is so cool and calm, and no moment is too big for him. He may have given up a hit or a run, but it wasn't because he would be scared. But he has found something. Mark Pryor told me a week before the playoffs started that Julio presented to the coaching staff a curveball that he used to throw when he was younger, the grip on the curveball. And ever since then, it's been no looking back for him. And it came at the right time because he was struggling with command, and shortening the number of pitches that he's throwing has also helped him coming out of the bullpen and making starts. So last night was everything coming together for him.
Okay, Dave, was the turning point of the game, at least I thought it was, the defensive play, the double play, Justin Turner making the play and getting the ball over to third. I thought that shifted the momentum. At that point, I thought the Dodgers, no matter what had happened then, were going to win the game.
That was part of it. Yeah, that definitely was part of the momentum switch. I know they had the bottom of the order up, but they prevented themselves from having Ronald Acuna Jr. to come up with men on base. So, yeah. That was a huge play, and Justin Turner barely got the heel of Dansby Swanson's foot. Austin Riley, I don't know. I mean, it just shows you, Fred, why I was so confident that the Dodgers would outplay the Braves, because they're a smarter team. They're a team that has more poise, and they were a deeper team. And the longer that series went, the worse it got for Atlanta. I'm sure Rodney and Eric have looked across the line of scrimmage and saw players' eyes and knew that they just realized where they were. And that's exactly what happened to the Braves. They woke up and realized where they were, 3-1, one win away from the World Series, and they froze. And it was so evident in the last three games. And Mookie Betts' catch, for me, saved a run. Say what you will about what could have, should have. Mookie, yep, saved a run. His three, you usually see one of those catches in a playoff series. I have never seen one player make three of those type of catches in three different games to change the momentum.
No, 100%. 100%. And as many people talking, well, he wasn't doing this offensively. He did even more defensively, which people don't always recognize. How big, though, the at-bat for Cody Bellinger? After all he's kind of been through this season, kind of even in the playoffs, for him to break out with that hit and that home run at that time.
Huge, huge. And you saw him look over at the dugout and remind him, pound on his chest and say, I'm still the man. I'm still the man. Yeah. And I talked to Andre Ethier this morning, and he knew when he saw that matchup that it was a good matchup for Cody Bellinger, because Chris Martin could not get the ball inside to Bellinger, and his pitches were going into the swing path of Cody. And you saw that with a couple of foul backs. So baseball guys that were watching that game, they knew that was a bad matchup. And I actually was a little surprised that Brian Snicker wouldn't pitch around Cody Bellinger in that situation. Maybe not put up four, but don't give him anything good to hit and face AJ Pollock. That was just another poor managing mistake by the Atlanta Braves, and there were a lot of them.
So what do you think the Dodgers' mindset is going into the World Series after this big scare by the Braves?
I think they know that they're facing the best team that they faced all season long. The Tampa Bay Rays pitching staff is 10 times better than what the Dodgers saw against the Braves. Starting pitching, bullpen, this is the best starting pitching and bullpen that they will have faced all year long. The Dodgers' strength is their offense. The Rays' strength is their pitching. Their offense is not very good, and they swing and chase at pitches outside the strike zone. It's going to come down to whether or not the Dodgers can score some runs against that Rays' offense. If they can, I believe the Dodgers' pitching staff can keep the Rays down.
You know, I think an interesting subplot to this series is Andrew Friedman. Andrew Friedman actually created what they do in Tampa, the system, the organization. He created that. They hired him here to replicate that with the Dodgers, but obviously with far more resources. I mean, isn't their roster in Tampa $28 million?
Yeah, you're right. And their GM is one of Andrew's old employees. He hired him when he was just a kid out of college. So I'm sure there's a lot of emotions for Andrew and would love to win his first World Series title beating the Rays. This was a win-win for him, beating the Astros or beating the Rays. But, Fred, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I know a lot of these writers, they love to really shine the spotlight on front office GMs these days and how smart they are. My concern is that the GMs get too involved, and I'm hoping that in this series, at least from the Dodgers standpoint, they allow the players to play and decide this series. Don't try to get caught up in what the Rays do. You're the Dodgers. I was talking to John Smoltz about this before the game yesterday. You're the Dodgers. You don't need to operate like the Rays. And if the Dodgers just overwhelm the Rays with their talent, they should win this series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And a lot of people will go, okay, this deja vu. The Dodgers are running up against a team that has great pitching. We've seen that movie before. What's going to happen to the bats? But this lineup is different than what we've seen in the past Dodger teams that have gone to the World Series. Am I right? I mean, we are loaded now up and down the lineup, more so than we've ever been before.
The biggest thing, Rodney, is that you have Corey Seager swinging the bat like Corey Seager during the regular season. He has had his playoff struggles in years past. They have one of the best hitters remaining in this playoffs. In the World Series, I would argue that Seager is the best hitter from both sides. And they also have one of the top three players in baseball in Mookie Betts. That's the biggest difference for me. They have the two best players in this series.
Well, let me ask you this. One of the big things is Mookie Betts, he played in the Rays division, so he's faced these pitchers before. I'm going to go on a limb and make this prediction also, Fred. I'm going to say Mookie Betts has played great defense. Now I think it's going to convert to his bat. I think he's seen these guys before. I think he may be the MVP of the World Series.
Well, I like that, Ed.
That'd be great news.
You can't keep him down for too long.
Hey, Dave. Oh, yeah. We know that Kershaw's going to pitch game one. What do you think the rotation looks like after that?
I believe the Dodgers are going to go back to maybe a bullpen game. Julio maybe could come back on short rest because he's that good. And game three, you'll have Walker Buehler. From there, I would have to do the math and look at the pitch counts and all that to see where they're at after the three games of the World Series. The good thing is, Fred, there are days off in this series, unlike the NLCS. So that will give the Dodgers a little bit of a reprieve, but it also really benefits the Rays and their pitching.
All right. Well, Dave, as always, we appreciate you coming on.
No problem, Fred. Still waiting for that, you were right, Dave, kind of moment here, but I guess I'm not getting that.
Dave. I'll tell you what you were right. You know what, Dave? You were right to ask about it. I'll give you that.
Okay, thanks. It was great being with you, Ed and Rodney, two very humble and great people.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Barbecue.
Freddy. So unnecessary.
You were in red, Fred. You were down so hard.
You know how Fred is. Oh, it's doom and gloom.
I think I channeled the emotions of many people in the city that root for the Dodgers. By the way, our visits with Eric are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit your local dealer today and test drive a Ford F-150. It's the best-selling full-size pickup in California.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I'll have the call when the Arizona Cardinals and quarterback Kyler Murray travel to Texas to take on the Cowboys. Backup quarterback Andy Dalton for Dallas will now look to lead the Cowboys from under center. Join us and hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the National Football League, the playoffs, and Super Bowl 55.
It's time for an upgrade. Beneath your feet, with beautiful, durable new carpet from the Home Depot. And right now, free installation. Choose from a wide selection of styles. Order samples. Schedule a measure and installation all online. It's never been easier to have carpet you love, right where you live. For new carpet and free installation, only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free installation on carpet $4.99 or more and 99 cents or more per square foot. U.S. only.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, changing your oil. We've got what you need. Regular changes are the best way to keep your engine running smooth. We'll help you find the right oil for your make and model and everything to help you finish the job right, like drain pans, filters, and funnels. And we've got more ways to get it all fast, like our next day delivery and our free same day pickup, in-store or curbside. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Together, all right, we can make things happen.
Presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. This is LA Football Mondays. Visit buyfordnow.com. Now, here's Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete.
AM 570 LA Sports.